Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 404, Strong Heart. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 12th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. How are you today? Are we awake? Oh, my goodness. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're awake now. All right. Hallelujah. Who knows what? And doing. Tanya, you can't answer. Tanya's helping people. Hearts alive in 2020. And Elizabeth up here in the front room also. They got it. Okay, do you guys have it? Praise the Lord. We are in our fourth message. I'm going to try not to trip myself up here. The fourth message of this series, Hearts Alive in 2025. And I hope as you are seeking God and fasting, and not only fasting, but praying, that your heart is coming alive, that God is, like yesterday when the sun came out, melting the snow and the ice off your driveway, melting that snow and ice and crusty parts of your heart. Let's face it, we all have them, right? And setting his fire in your heart, setting his passion and his love and all his good things so that your heart is really coming alive in this year, in 2025, than ever before. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called A Strong Heart. And when we talk about a strong heart, may have strong heart. This thing is playing tricks on me, so we'll just do that. I'm doubly wired. Okay. Praise the Lord. It is essential to have a strong heart, to have a pure heart, a heart that is aligned to the Word of God, that is aligned to King Jesus. Amen? And so we're going to look at what does that mean to have a strong heart? What are the characteristics of a strong heart? And, you know, when we started this series, I shared with you a little bit of whatever the word is, you know, how man, like a little overwhelmed that once you dig into the Word of God and like do a study on the heart, there's so much, so many passages in scriptures, even if it doesn't use the word heart, it's talking about the state of your heart. How is your heart? This is important to King Jesus. He wants his bride, his people aligned to his heart. He wants us to walk in victory every day. And in order to do that, we have to have a heart that is strong, that is strengthened so that we can walk in daily victory. We've got to have a pure heart. We've got to be people that stand out. We are the holy, set apart ones, right? And so our hearts should be different than hearts of non-believers. Amen? We should act differently and we should talk differently. We should make choices that are different. And all of that, as we talked about in the first message, that comes out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your actions. It's going to come out of your behavior. And all of that, because we are set apart by King Jesus, and he has made us the righteousness of Christ, in Christ Jesus, our hearts should be different so that our words are different, so that our actions are different, our emotions, everything that comes out of us is different. Let's review that from the first message that I did. What was the title of that one? I forget. I don't know. Quiz question. Anyways, it's okay. Whatever the first, it was obviously life changing for all of us because we all remember the title of it. What's in your heart? Okay, praise God. What was my point? The review of the heart is the core of who you are. It's your inner being. It's what you hold inside that nobody else sees, we think nobody else sees, but people see and hear the words that you speak. They see the behavior, and they can guess, well, maybe there's something going on in that person's heart because of how I see them acting, because of the words that I hear them saying, right? And so we want to have hearts that are beautiful. Hearts like this, much better than the lockbox that I brought on that first series, right? Hearts that are glowing, sparkly. This guy has the touch of King Jesus. For all those who like bling bling, here you go. So, but we don't just want to be like Jesus spoke about the religious folks, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of being whitewashed tombs, where they looked all pretty on the outside. It was all about the appearance, but on the inside, nothing, you know, just empty, nothing. And it was nasty, not just empty or nothing, but nasty and filthy on the inside. And so we're going to, as we look, take a look now at the different characteristics, and there's probably many more from the Word of God, characteristics of a strong heart. We're going to fill up this represents a heart, right? We're going to fill up those characteristics from the Word of God in our box here. Praise the Lord. He's calling us out. He's calling us in 2025 and just and beyond to be his people without spot or wrinkle, to be his bride that walks in victory. And in order to do that, we have to have a strong, pure heart. We have so much potential on the inside of us because of what Jesus has deposited in us. Do you know that when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received the fullness? Everybody say fullness.
Fullness.
It's not empty, it's full. You received the fullness of Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus is, that's the fullness, all that he is, that lives in you. Wow. Pastor Sarah, that's pretty amazing. Yes, it is. That's what the Word of God says. All the fullness of Jesus lives on the inside of you. That's a lot of potential that we have. And how much of that potential, what percentage of that potential are we walking in and are we living and are we implementing in our lives? I don't want to share my number with you because it's like I want God to keep purifying my heart so that that my heart on the inside looks as beautiful as it does on the outside, and that I don't have appearances, that I'm just up here preaching or, you know, saying whatever. I want to live it every day. I want to talk it every day. When people see me at pumping gas at the gas station. I don't pump gas at Walmart. They do have a gas station that's connected. But anyways, when I'm pumping gas at the gas station, thank you, Nita. You're going to help me preach today. Then I'm the same. You know, I'm the same, and I walk in integrity because my heart is right and because my heart is pure, and I can hear his voice and I walk in what he's telling me to do and say, and all of it. Praise the Lord. So this is why it's so important, to essential, that you listen to this today, that you listen to me, because it's from the Word of God. We want to walk in our calling and our purpose. We want to live up to the full potential of Jesus on the inside of us, the fullness of Christ. We want to grow and mature. Can I get an amen? You know, there's been a focus in this heart, in this series about hearts alive in 2025, about growing and maturing, because we don't want our heart to just stay the same and stay with the crustiness and stay with the ice cold icicles on it, right? We want it to be on fire, purified, strengthened, so that we can grow and mature. It's part of being a disciple, that we grow and mature, that we're transformed, right? Transformed by Jesus. Our definition of a disciple here at my Father's house is somebody, let's see if I can get this right, somebody who is following Jesus after Jesus, after his ways, walking in his ways. It's somebody who's transformed by Jesus. That's an ongoing process, and that's where we're focusing on in this series, be our hearts being transformed by King Jesus and being on mission with Jesus. We've got to get the transformation part right, and like I said, we're going to be doing that every day of our lives until we get to his presence and glory. But there comes a point in time where, you know, where we reach some breakthrough in our lives so that we can truly be on mission with him. We can be serving him. We can live up to that potential so that we can invest in somebody else's life and help them get their heart right before Jesus and walk with them and accompany them, being on mission with Jesus, telling people about the good news, telling people what Jesus did for them, right? We can do this. So, are you ready to take a look at some characteristics of a strong heart? A heart that is after God, like the way Jesus described King David, right? He had a heart after him, for him, that was in, his heart was inclined to him. All right, so the first characteristic is of a strong heart is a heart that is guarded. Whoops, I was going to have somebody help me. I have a few helpers, and I'm... Okay, who's my first helper? You, right, Nita? All right, come on up. She's going to put that in the box. Thank you so much. Pretty in pink today. Hallelujah. Okay, so a strong heart. This is one characteristic, the first one that we're going to look at. It is a heart that is guarded from contaminants, things that contaminate the heart. Oh my, and aren't there many? There are so many things that threaten to come into our heart and contaminate it. Like, I have a tea here. I could go get some nasty yellow snow out there, or, you know, whatever, crusty brown snow. Sorry. I have an 8-year-old boy now, you know, at home. So, okay, so, you know, and if you had a dropper and you got some nasty, not white snow, and you drop it in my tea, that's going to contaminate it. And I'm not going to want to drink that anymore, right? We need to keep our hearts pure without contaminants. There are so many. And we talked a lot about this in the first message, what's in your heart, now that we got the title right. Psalm 51, verse 10, it says, David crying out, create in me a pure heart, O God. We need help to do that. We need God's strength to do that. We need the Holy Spirit now that we're on the other side of the cross. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How do we do that? We have all the fullness of Christ living inside of us. We got to get our minds renewed so that we can live it and walk it. And so that the fullness of Christ, who Jesus is and all his love and amazingness, that's what I choose. So that my heart is the same as that, right? And so we've got to also work at that. Yes, I have the fullness. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit and he'll help me, but I've got to choose that. I've got to get my mind renewed so that my heart can line up to what he says how it should be. Amen? And so how do we do that? Well, one way to create in me and that God helps us create a pure heart is to keep the contaminants out. We've got to keep the things that that contaminate our hearts, that threaten to make it filthy, to make it dirty. You know, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and those are all the positive qualities that we as believers, as we commune with the Holy Spirit, as we get our minds renewed, we should be producing and choosing and walking in those fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, 22, is it 22? Where to go? Yeah, 22 to 25. Let's read it. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no laws against these things. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, we are. Are we? Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So we need to guard, just like we can choose to walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, other versions say, and choose love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, blah, 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 and self-control. They're all important, but that self-control, ooh, man. Yeah, that's a good one. They're all good. But those all have a reciprocal. They all have an opposite, right? That the enemy, that the defeated one tries to pervert. What would be the opposite, the reciprocal of love? Hate, right? Hatred, right? So these are the the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit are the contaminants that we have to keep out of our hearts. So we say, you guys give me the fruits of the Spirit, love, right? And so hatred would be the reciprocal. What's the next one?
Joy.
Love, joy. So the opposite, depression or sadness, right? What's next?
Peace.
If you're like me, you have to say them all together, and that's the only way that you can know, say the next one. You got to say them all together, right? Or have it, see it written down. Peace. Thank you. Elizabeth's going to keep me on track in the front row here. Peace. So the opposite of peace would be anxiety, right? Turbulence. Patience. The opposite of that, just put an IM. Hint, hint. Impatience. Being impatient, right? Kindness. The reciprocal of that. Being mean. We could just, right? Put it on a kid level. The opposite of being kind is being mean, right? Goodness, evil. These are all the things that we need to guard our hearts against. Evil. So the next fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, unfaithfulness, being unfaithful, being uncommitted, not devoted. Gentleness. Harshness or like brutality. Yeah, harsh. And self-control. Willy-nilly all over the place. Indiscipline, right? We could say. What? No control, right. I guess, yeah. No control, indiscipline. Those are the things that we need to guard our hearts against that threaten to contaminate the purity of our heart. And we can do that. We can do that. I talked a lot about that in the first message about woo, woo, you know, Holy Spirit, help me guard my thoughts, my words, my actions against those contaminants, those reciprocals of the fruits of the Spirit, because I don't want them in my heart. Help me, Holy Spirit. And then the other way that we can guard our heart to keep the contaminants out so that, and this is going to lead into our second characteristic, so that we can let the other things grow. We can let the things that we do want in our lives, in our hearts, we can let the seeds of those things grow. The fruits of the Spirit, that's what we want to choose, to operate, to walk in, to activate the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And we do that by the Word of God. We plant the Word of God in our hearts. If you did not hear last week's message, what was the title of that one? Faith Fields? Fields of Faith. Oh my gosh, Sister Tanya knocked it out of the park. I just say, homework, everybody go listen to that message like 3 or 4 times because it is so good. It's so rich. It's so fruitful. Ha. Do you like the pun? It'll produce fruit in our lives when we get a hold of that word, the incorruptible seed of the word, and we plant it into our hearts. So we're guarding our hearts and keeping contaminants out. And then this brings us to the second characteristic of a strong heart. Who's got number 2? All right, here she comes, Miss America. Thank you. I'm keeping you guys awake, you know, by doing this little thing. Okay, so we're going to put this in here. This is the second characteristic. We kind of segued into it. It is a heart. So a strong heart is a heart that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. This heart is looking beautiful. It's one that's guarded from contaminants, and it's a one that is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And again, go listen to that message. It's on podcast, and you can listen, or you can watch it on the replay from YouTube and Facebook. So, a heart that is rooted and grounded in the Word. When we plant the Word in our hearts, that incorruptible seed of the Word, and our hearts have good soil, like she explains and illustrated it so well, then the Word will produce fruit in our lives. And it's awesome. So here's a scripture that I chose. And this scripture could be like an example of one positive outcome of planting the Word of God in our hearts. So Romans 4, verse 20 and 21, this is the New Living Translation. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. How was it that as time went on, and Abraham and Sarah were not getting younger, they were getting older, but yet as the time went on, they became even stronger in believing, stronger in faith, that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, and that they would be 90-some years old, bent over maybe with canes, but pushing a baby stroller with their promised child, right? I mean, can you imagine? Wow. Okay, Sarah, let's go pick out crib sheets for our baby. You know, I mean, like, as the time, you know, is ticking, I don't know about you, but when you're waiting for something, the longer that the time goes on, my human nature, just saying, yes, I'm a pastor, but my human nature isn't that I get strong on my own, okay, on my own strength and my own effort, isn't that I get stronger and more built up on that thing, unless I'm rooted and grounded in the Word of God, unless I have let that Word etch something in my heart, etch his promise in my heart, and that thing creates roots in me that doesn't rock me. That's the goal, that we become so rooted in that Word, that promise. And it doesn't have to just be a promise of something that he's promised you. What about being rooted and implanted in your identity, because that comes from the Word, about like knowing what Ephesians 1 says about who you are. You've got to be rooted in that thing. So somebody else comes along and says, no, you're this, you're that, you're nothing, you know, you have no value. But if you have that Word in your heart, etched in your heart, you're rooted and grounded, nothing's going to blow you down. You're strong in that Word. Amen? Strong in authority, the authority that we've been given. The Word will keep you steady, not blown about by every doctrine of teaching, right? By what your emotions tell you, by what your intellect tells you, by what your logic tells you. The Word of God will keep you steady. It will keep you rooted and grounded in how he wants you to be rooted and grounded. Help us, Jesus. Let us get it. Amen. That was good words, Pastor Sarah. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to take a sip. All right. I already said that. Number three. Who's got number three? Are we awake? One of the chillin's back there. All right. Number three, characteristic of a strong heart. Here he comes. Praise the Lord. And it's awesome that you got number three, because you know why? He's proof of what we're going to talk about this. We became official this week. Yay! If you didn't see it, it's already on Facebook, so I can say it here too. Praise the Lord. We became a family of three. Hallelujah. The judge had her gavel and she said, "It is done. Forever family." Hallelujah. So, I could just sing a little song and dance a little dance, but I'll pour it out into what I'm going to talk about, because that's amazing that he got this one. This is a quality, a characteristic of a strong heart. It is a heart that is willing to fight for God's promises. And let me tell you, it's been a little bit of a fight to get to where we got this week. Hallelujah. This week culminated, is that the right word? Breakthrough for several years. I'll try not to cry. But, you know, this has been a promise over Santos and I for many years that we would, and even before he and I got married, my life calling, I understood that I was supposed to be a mother as long as I can remember. You ask my mom, what did Sarah play when she was little? What did she play with? Dollies, babies, feeding them, teaching them to sing, teaching them to dance, teaching whatever she would teach them. Not math. Stayed away from math. But I taught them. I'd line up my dollies. I'd line up my babies. I'd feed them. I'd go grocery shopping for them. That's what I would play. Like, I understood from as long as I can remember till I was yee-high that I was going to be a mother, that God had put something in me like this nurturing, this caring for a child, right? And so we had to contend. This promise over our lives, you know, some things we just receive from God and we receive freely. Other things you have to fight for. Other things you have to be rooted and grounded in the word. Otherwise, it'll blow you off. And there were many times that, at least for me, that it was a threat to me to be just blown off and create an Ishmael or do something, make it happen, take matters into my own hands rather than waiting for God's timing and God's best plan. He's got a best plan for all of us. So a strong heart is one that's willing to contend for God's promises until the harvest comes. It's a heart that doesn't give up and doesn't give in, no matter how it looks, no matter how much it's trying to blow you down or blow you over. It's steadfast. It's a heart that is steadfast and faithful, doing the same thing. Doesn't that describe our Lord? He is steadfast and he is faithful, and we've got to imitate him no matter how it looks. It is a heart that is persistent and patient. Patient, holding the door open so that the hand of faith can take hold of the promise, Pastor Harley says. And okay, let's read Psalm 31, verse 24. It says, is it up there yet? Sorry, I'm going fast. You're going to help me. What does it say in your Bible in Psalm 31, verse 24? Brave. Be brave. Does your version say brave?
Yep.
Okay, cool. The version that I have says be strong, what we're talking about, a strong heart. Be strong, be brave. And let your heart take courage. Don't have a cowardly heart, but let your heart take courage. All you who hope in the Lord. That's it. We got to hope in the Lord and not what we see. Hope in his word. Hope in what he has spoken to you, no matter what it looks like. We had to stay the course, Pastor Santos and I, to receive God's best, to receive God's blessing. for how he would fulfill that promise to us. And turn around and look at him. Isn't it amazing? The fulfillment of God's promise. We say to him, you are the greatest dream of our hearts. One of the greatest dreams of our hearts. And usually I say that to him and then tears are streaming down my face. And he's like, eat your breakfast. And I'm like, oh. I had some moments, you know, leading up to our gotcha day, our adoption day, where it just like hit me of like, oh my gosh, like I prayed for you for so long, you know, my knees are bruised from praying for you. And now here you are sitting there eating breakfast right in front of me. Eat your breakfast. All right, it's getting cold. Aren't you going to eat your breakfast? Yes, I'm going to eat my breakfast after I praise God for what he's done. And because he helped me by his grace develop that fruit of the spirit of patience. Whew, boy. He uses difficulties and delays in promises to transform our heart. And if you saw what I wrote on Facebook, that really came out of my heart genuinely of like, yes, he changed our circumstance and gave us a child and amazing and the fulfillment of the promise. But the other amazing thing is that when you're waiting for a promise, he transforms your heart in the process. Like the inside stuff, because you have to really, like in my case, like really learn to trust him when it hurts with everything that you got, you know? And yeah, praise the Lord. He's so faithful. He's so good. He will work it out in us and each time chisel away through difficulties that you're living, chisel away at your heart if you let him. If you don't get off of the operation table, you know, because he's doing heart surgery. If you're going through something hard, yeah, there's the external circumstances of it. And then there's the how your heart handles it. And he has you on, maybe some of you on the operating table, like, let me work in this hard thing. Let me work it out. And can you imagine yourself, you're in a surgery, doctor's scalpel, okay, yeah, get this, get that, scalpel doctor, okay, cut right here, like they're doing open heart surgery on you, and you just, I mean, you should be unconscious, hopefully, like you're knocked out, but imagine you just rip the wires off, and you just get up, and I gotta go, there's a sale at whatever, you know, what? Stay on the operating table. It might hurt some, but you will be transformed. You will have an experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that he transforms you. He uses the hard things, the hurtful things. If you give them, you know, we sing, Lord, I give you my heart. Do you really? Do you really let him stay there with the scalpel and go with the word? Like it says, the word divides unto spirit and, or how does it say it? Bone and marrow, right? Do you allow God and with his word to transform you? Rhetorical question. Talk to the Holy Spirit about it. But don't get up before your operation is over because he wants to work some stuff out in you. Praise the Lord. We short circuit his transformation in us when we take matters into our own hands and say, no, I'm done. Surgery's over. Whew. Let him do it. Let him do it because it will be all the more beautiful and all the more rewarding. Praise the Lord. Okay. Wow. I'm going to preach all for a while, right? We're not eating lunch, most of us probably, right? So it's okay? Okay. All right. This is, yeah. You guys okay? All right. Another one. Number four. Next one. Who's got number four? Okay. This is a good one, sister. Isn't it good? Did you read it? Oh, it's good. Oh, our heart's looking so beautiful. The bling is coming out more and more. This is a characteristic of a strong and pure heart. It is one that is free from offense. I'm not talking about white picket fences. I'm talking about offense when you are offended. When somebody does something, says something that they just shouldn't, you know, People say things, we say things, we offend people too, and you never know sometimes how somebody's going to take something, but you know what? The whole thing about holding on to an offense, I have a Spanish phrase in my head. It pudre nosotros. It poisons us, and we think that we're harming the other person. They don't deserve my forgiveness. I'm just going to, give them a piece of my mind. Oh, really? Is that what the Holy Spirit told you to do? That's what Santos and I say to each other sometimes. Oh, really? When we have a response that's obviously of our flesh. Oh, that's really interesting. You're going to go give them a piece of your mind, huh? Is that what the Holy Spirit told you to do? Say that to your spouse. They'll love you for it. No, sorry. Don't want to start any civil wars. But if you get permission from your spouse to speak into their life and help, to have some accountability about walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit and the words you say and all those things, then you can do that. But we need to forgive people. We need to let it go, get a ladder and get over it, right? Because we only poison ourselves. We only hurt ourselves. And from the inside, the core of who we are, the heart, we just become rotten. We become contaminated with offense, with that lack of forgiveness, instead of releasing them. And you know what? There was a time in my life where, this is a few years back, man, it was a rough season. And I remember the season, and it was like, I felt like I was being stripped of myself, but really it was being stripped of pride. And there were several things that, I was not treated nicely. I'll just say it that way, in a nice way. Lots of things were coming against me, or some different circumstances that just felt really heavy to me. It felt really unfair, and people were blaming me and saying things, and it was just ugly, and it was hard. And I remember just crying out to God about that, and when you cry out to Jesus about that, he knows exactly how it feels to be humiliated, to be persecuted, to be not treated fairly. He knows all about it. And he brought me in that season to Philippians 2. And a few verses there in Philippians 2 where it talks about Jesus being stripped of his divinity and stripped and humiliated, stripped of any sense of humility or dignity because of, when he was going to the cross and how he was treated. And I allowed, as hard as it was and through tears, there's probably, tears on that page in my Bible, because I allowed him, I just meditated a lot on that section because God said, I know exactly how you feel. Like Jesus, I know exactly how you feel that people mistreated you. I was mistreated too. and I allowed him to just work that character of humility in me, recognizing, God, you're stripping me of pride, that it's not about me, that it's not about me being treated fairly and nicely all the time, and that I just had to extend love and grace over people when maybe they didn't even deserve it, and they did, say some things or treat me in a way that wasn't fair. And so if you find yourself in a situation like that, go to Philippians 2 or go to some other sections of scripture and allow him to strip you and allow him to create just that love, that amazing love. You got to receive it from him first, of how loved you are by him and how forgiven you are. And then you will be, with that is your strength to be able to extend that forgiveness and grace to other people. So a strong heart is one that is free from offense. You got to let it go. And it might be a process of letting it go. Every day, every moment you think of that person, you just, I forgive them, Father. I bless them. That'll pray for them. Pray for those that persecute you, and that'll jumpstart it. And one day you'll be really, your emotions will catch up. Your emotions, you'll begin to I really do care for them. I really want the best for them, because Jesus will give that to you when you make the choice to forgive. You're never going to feel like it. You're never going to feel like just letting them go, letting that offense go, because that's not our human nature. But look at Jesus and use him as your model. Praise the Lord. Okay, number five, strong heart. What's it like, Sister Lucy? All right. Let's put it in there. A strong heart is one that is open to the Lord's correction. Open to the Lord's correction. Talk about being stripped of pride. I know, I've got all the answers. I know what to do. I'm going to do it in my own strength, in my own way, in my own time. Oh, really? Oh, really? Let God do it. Let God correct you. Let him lead you in your life. Psalms 26, verse 2. It's being open, crying out to God, consulting with God to let him truly be Lord. It says, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. That's what it says. Examine my heart and mind. Show me, bring correction. It's a cry out for him to lead you, to guide you, to correct you. Be ready, because he'll bring it. He'll do it, because he wants to change us into his image. I remember a time, and maybe I've told this story before, but I remember a time when I was the first 5 months that I went to Argentina as a missionary. I did the YWAM discipleship training school that was 5 months. And it was like, okay, I'm going to Argentina for 5 months. In my heart, I knew that it was going to be longer. And but my family was like, okay with that. Okay, 5 months, and then you come back. And so at the end of the 5 months, we were on our outreach phase. You know, all the students are talking about, well, what are you going to do after? Are you going to stay? Are you going to become staff in YWAM? Are you going to go home? Are you going to serve in your church? Like, what are you going to do? This was all the buzz, right? And I had several conversations with the Lord where I told him what I was going to do. And like, this is how it's going to go, God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And I knew in my heart, it was kind of clouded by some confusion, but that was just because I wasn't really looking at my heart and really ready at that point to admit that God was inviting me back to stay in Argentina and become a full-time missionary and like join the mission and, you know, serve 24/7. And I fought that a while. And so I had this wonderful devotional time with the Lord. We were on outreach and we were in a city, and there was that had a new Pioneer YWAM base. And the director, he was hosting us, and we went to the streets and did evangelism. And, you know, he was building up a small team. And now it's like a thriving YWAM base in that city. But these were the pioneer years. And so we had our team each had our, like, devotional time separately. And then we came together and had a time together with the Lord. So in my private time with the Lord, okay, God, I told him all my best laid plans. Like, this is what I'm going to do, because everybody's asking me what I'm going to do after. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And you're going to bless it. Amen. And I closed my Bible. That was a great time with the Lord. And I go, and we're sitting around the table, and we're having our devotional time. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And I'm confessing all of this to you guys, that so we sang to the Lord, we shared a scripture, blah, 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 and this director of this new pioneer base began to operate in, like, words of knowledge. And he began to prophesy, and he ran around the table, and he prophesied to each one. And he gets to me, and guess what he says? You are a woman of obedience. I wanted to crawl under that table because I just told God what I was going to do, and I had all the plans, and he was going to bless my plans, and then this guy, God uses this guy in such a gentle way. I mean, just to say, you're not going to do any of those plans that you just told me. You are a woman of obedience, and you're going to obey my heart because you hear my voice. I'm shaking as I tell you this. And that's how it is. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I repent. I know I'm a woman of obedience. Oh my gosh. It was funny. Now I laugh about it. It wasn't funny at the time. I was probably crying trying to hide under the table. But yeah, take the Lord's correction. And I took it, and I wrestled a bit more, and then, you know, started saying, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay. I went home for a time and then came back. Just had a little break and stuff and wanted to stock up on peanut butter and, you know, things like that, and bring chocolate and bring things back to Argentina with me that, you know. Anyways, allow the Lord to correct you, to steer you. You submit yourself to his spirit living inside of you instead of your feelings, your opinion, your logic. Another time that he corrected me was, and I know I've told this story before, and I'll try to keep it quick, short, because I have more stories that I want to tell, and we've got a few more things, is that I was writing a sermon. I was preparing for a sermon, and I was typing something out about, I don't know, something about hearing the Lord's voice and doing the hard thing that he says to do or something. And it was like, he stopped me. Like, I couldn't even fit. He's like, oh, really? Are you doing that in your life right now? And I was like, yeah, but I'm going to get up and preach this. Yeah, you're going to preach that? You're not doing that. I've told you to do something and you're not doing it. And I was like, nobody saw me. It was me typing, and he like just stopped me. Like, how can you get up there and say that when you're not doing it? Because I've told you that you need to go and talk to your friend. Friend that I've had since we were in first grade. And the Lord showed me some things about her life, some hard things, some like result of sin in her life. And I love her, and we've been friends a long time, but like, I didn't like meddle like that, you know, like say, well, this is the result of sin in your life. And blah. And God was like, I want to use you as a messenger. Aren't you going to say that to her? Like, you can't get up and say that you hear my voice and you do what I say because you've been ignoring this. And I was like, oh, I mean, he did it in a gentle sort of way, but it wasn't fun. And I was like, I had to get over myself. Like, I had to put my own feelings, and really it was fear of man. Like, is she going to hate me? Is she going to disown me as a friend? And God was like, I want to set her free. Like, I want to use you to speak. Who's going to speak if you're not going to speak to her? And I was like, oh, I don't want to. And do you remember this, Santos? And so, if you're having a struggle like this, this is my recommendation. Get alone with God and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. It'll move yourself out of the way. And something happened. I knelt down and I started praying in the Spirit. I prayed for my friend. And it was like my heart got plugged in to the heart of God for my friend by just praying in the Spirit. And I began to sob and weep over her. And it was like I was feeling God's heart for her and how he wanted to set her free, and that she just had to repent of this sin, and, you know, he would turn stuff around in her life. And so who was I to stand in the way of God wanting to do that and bring that in her life? Like, I was just, he just asked me to be the messenger, right? But when I tapped into his heart by praying in the Spirit, I mean, remember, Santos came over, and I was on my knees in the office, like on the chair, like on the knees, yeah, knees on the floor, on the chair, you know, and just like began to weep. And he came over, he knew I was praying, but like, are you okay? Like, what's going on in here? And I explained it to him after, like, whoa, like, and I had never experienced that before. It was like, just, that's the best way I can know how to describe it, that like my heart got connected to God's heart for her. And so when I was done and like he released me, it was like, okay, well, I got to pick up the phone and tell her, like, I got to call her. Like, I was so ready because fear of man got out of the way and it was just his love for her. And so I called her and I said, I have to, you know, and I did lots of dancing around it. And she was like, tell me, what do you, what, yeah. Cause I was like, I this is really hard for me. And I, you know, I love you and I want the best for you, but I've got to tell you some things. And God, you know, dealt with my heart because I've been putting this off for a while. And she was like, what is it, Sarah? Just tell me, you know, I love you. And blah. And it went like so well. And she received it. And it was just like, oh my gosh, we just have to get ourselves out of the way sometimes. Our darn emotions and this fear of man stuff, you know? And we're still friends to this day. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So that's an example of allowing God to correct you, allowing God's voice to come through. It's not your own emotions. And we need hearts that are strong like that, that can hear his correction, that we're going one way and he gives us a course correction and we go the other and he's going to, he works that in our hearts for the good of the people around us and for the good of ourselves. And so that this next one is very similar to that. So that was a strong heart is one that's open to the Lord's correction. And this next one, whoever has number six, is that you? Is one who, a strong heart is one who, thank you, is hears God's voice and obeys. And those last two stories I told you, I mean, it's similar to this one of being corrected. But we need to hear God's voice and obey and walk in what he says. Psalm 73, verse 26. This is in the ESV version. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I love this verse. I have this in a little frame on my desk. Like when my heart, we want our hearts to get there, right? And we're working on Holy Spirit, mature us, purify us, strengthen our hearts. But on the day that our heart and our flesh fail us, who is our strength? God, let it be him. Let it be his way, his voice that comes out and we will be okay because he's leading and guiding, not my flesh, not my heart, not my, these things that fail or go up and down, right? Praise the Lord. Here's a story. This is a good one. Some of you have heard this story also. Hears God's voice and obeys. This one time, in the beginning of our marriage, we didn't always get along in the beginning. In the first year or so, we had a lot of stupid fights over which desk to keep and which, because we were older when we got, well, I was older when we got married. And so we had both been independent and lived on our own. And it was like, I want my kitchen table. No, I want my kitchen table. And like stupid stuff, you know, stupid material things. And the trash can, he won. We had that trash can with the flippy lid. I don't like those kind. I mean, come on. But anyways, this one time, maybe we were arguing about the trash can. I think it was something a little deeper, I have a feeling. And we were both really upset. And it was kind of like a blowout. Yeah, I know. Then God made us pastors. No, but I'm just trying to be real. We're real people that have struggles. But so we got upset with each other. And here's a little word to the wise for the men. Don't make your wife upset. Santos will tell you this. At dinner time. Yeah, I heard him say it. Don't make your wife upset around dinner time, men, if you want to eat. So we separated, and he's like hiding in the basement. I was stewing on the couch and like, nom, 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 nom. I can't believe that. Nom, nom, nom. Made me mad. And nom, nom, nom. But my belly's growling, and I know it's like dinner time, and I'm not going to make dinner for him. God, you know, stewing, right? Has anyone ever stewed a little bit? Well, Jesus threw me a lifeline. And he said, the Lord said to me, all right, you don't have to make dinner for Santos. Will you make dinner for me? And I'm like, I think you're tricking me, Holy Spirit. I think you're tricking me, but I'll take it because I just need help right now, you know? You've got to be willing. When God speaks his voice and you're in a quandary, you're in a moment, take his help, even if it seems hard, you know? You're going to have to take a step toward what he's saying to you to do. But he's throwing you a lifeline, and so go with it because it'll turn out good, and he's going to fix things for you and teach you in the process. So, you know, Holy Spirit says, well, will you make dinner for me? And I was like, okay. And actually, guys, I'm pleased to report that I really got my heart in that. It wasn't like I said, okay, but then was slamming around the kitchen and, you know, I wasn't. He turned me around. I think I probably prayed for a few minutes before I started and was like, went to go make dinner for Jesus. And I was able to, like, Jesus, you're my Lord, and I want to please you, and you're coming to my table. You asked me to make dinner for you, and I'm gonna bless you. And I was able to turn myself around and do it with a right heart. So comes time to, you know, call Santos. It's dinner time, you know. Holy Spirit's like, okay, call him, invite him. I'm like, yeah, this is where I know that you tricked me. So he comes, he sits down, we pray, goes to eat. He's like, I didn't think you were going to make dinner for me. And you guys, I didn't premeditate what I was going to say. I didn't think about it at all. It just fell out of my mouth. I said, I didn't make dinner for you. He looked at me like, what? I go, I didn't make dinner for you. I said, I made dinner for Lord Jesus, King Jesus. And he was like, okay, I think I'll just be quiet and eat my dinner. He's like, well, this is really good. Thank you. And I was just, okay. But you know what? It got us around. It got me around my bad, contaminated heart at that moment that I didn't want to do it. But when God gives you, you know, speaks his voice, allows you to hear his voice, praise the Lord, because it's a lifeline and he's helping you out so that your heart can look a little more sparkly and get rid of some of that yucky stuff. So take his correction, take his voice and walk in it because it'll bring you life. And we tell that story and we laugh about it because it's just one of those beginning day married stories, and praise the Lord, he taught us through that. Okay, so a strong heart is, to recap that one that hears God's voice and obeys. Okay, last one. Who's got number 7? Last but not least. Is that the lovely little lady in the bling bling dress in the back? Yes. All right, you get the bling bling heart from the bling bling dress. Thank you. Awesome. Give her a round of applause. And for all my helpers. For those of you listening on podcast, wow, you missed that. She came up in her bling bling dress and put the little paper in the bling bling box that represents our heart. And then she strutted down the aisle like, Jesus loves me and I know it. That was awesome. Thank you. Praise God. I got to describe that so the podcast people know what's happening. Why are they laughing? Okay, so a strong heart, number 7, is one that is thankful. Oh, let's be a people that praise God, that thank him, that rejoice for what he has done, for who he is in our lives, no matter what the circumstances look like. Not just one day, not just on Thanksgiving. It's okay to be thankful, and we should be thankful every single day of our lives. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. This is a lifeline for us. This will give us a strong, pure heart, that we're not so focused on what I'm lacking, what I don't see, what's wrong, but we are looking at the positive. We're looking at who God is, what he has done, what I do have, because we are so much more blessed than what our flesh tells us that we are sometimes, you know? And it's like the devil wants us to have a magnifying glass and just focus on that one thing, that one area that's hard, or that one problem, or that one promise that hasn't come true yet. And the more that we look at that, it's like everything gets rotten. Everything gets contaminated in our view. Like life is bad and gray and boring and terrible because I don't have this one thing, and it gets bigger. Whatever you magnify, whatever you focus on, that will get bigger. So let's magnify the Lord, even if the promise hasn't come through yet, or even if the circumstance isn't the way that you know that it should be and lined up to the word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And the more you magnify him, the bigger it will get. Not that God can get bigger, but you will commune with him in a greater way. And maybe then, it's because it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Did I say it right? Okay. Sometimes I mix those, reverse them. But as you do that, it's the key that unlocks the door. And maybe as you're praising him, even when circumstances aren't ideal, is when you hear his voice and he tells you something like to throw you a lifeline so that you can walk in it and walk out to the promise, to receive the promise, or just get your heart transformed in the process. And that's a good thing all the time, right? Let's focus on God, who God is to us, that he's our loving father and that he wants the best for us, and not what is lacking or not what is not right yet. Because so many times, especially when it comes to like receiving a promise, when we're not seeing it, we can harden our hearts and we can blame God and we can like lift up our fist like inside of our heart and like, why God, why are you doing this to me? Ooh. I say this because I've been there, you know, and it's like God and Holy Spirit in his gentleness just like grabbed my hand and just like, okay, just like, it's not God that's withholding something from me. It's something that he's using it to work something in my heart. And maybe there's some demonic influence that I need to take care of. Or maybe, you know, because God is never the author of death and destruction, right? And he wants to do something in me through the process. And so we need to keep a softened heart to him and be thankful to God and not raise our fist of like, why God, why me, why is this happening? Don't harden your heart to God like the Israelites did when they were in the desert, right? And then they got struck with that terrible grumbling and complaining. I mean, he was raining provision, manna from heaven every day. And didn't give us manna. We're sick of this manna. You know, we can be like that. Here's another story. You guys call me the bird whisperer lady. One time we were camping. And it was, I think, during a season when I was probably struggling with, where is this promise of, you said I would be a mother. You said I would have children. And where is it, God? And I woke up really early. We're in a tent. We're tent campers. I know, we're rough it. And laying there with a stone under my back going, oh, this is great. And Santos is sawing logs. And, I mean, sleeping peacefully. And I start listening to the birds. It's like 5 a.m. or something. And I start listening to the birds in this, wherever we were camping. And they're tweeting and like beautiful songs. And it was like the Holy Spirit just like translated this one bird, his song like stood out to me. And he kept saying, he is faithful. He is faithful. And it was like he kept chirping this. He is faithful. And it was like, get that song. Listen to what the birds are singing and believe that he is faithful and he will fulfill that promise in your life. He is faithful. He is, you know, when like you hear a little, I always, as a kid, always loved to hear the bird's song and try to put it into words of like the syllables of like how, what they're saying. And so, yeah, the Holy Spirit did it for me. He is faithful. He is faithful. And then I think, was this the time that it was like bad weather? I don't know. Was it raining or something? Somebody had a generator going really early in the morning. They were running something, and it killed my "He is faithful." And it was like, and God was like, Holy Spirit was like, so when you're not singing like the birds are singing, "He is faithful," you let this grumbling and complaining into your life, and that's what you sound like. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go back to "He is faithful," like this cute little chirp, and then the and like, cut the generator already. God's like, or Holy Spirit's like, yeah, cut the grumbling and complaining already. Just sing my praise, and you'll see it come to pass, because I am good and I am faithful. He is faithful. Isn't that sweet? That's my story. So let's be thankful. Let's be thankful people. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Pray, talk to God, tell him what you need, empty out your heart to him. Thank him, be thankful, and then you'll experience, you'll let go of your own stuff, and his shalom peace will flood you, where nothing is missing, nothing is broken, because you're giving thanks to him, even in all circumstances. And it'll guard, that peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Try it, it'll work for you, because it's God's word. Praise the Lord. So why so much effort? Like, why do I, Pastor Sarah, why do I have to put in so much effort to having a strong heart? Because it's what will grow and mature us and change and transform us into the image of Christ. Jesus, in all his fullness, wants to expand in us and wants to shine through our hearts like this bling, bling box. That what we have on the inside, all of these qualities of a strong heart that we talk to and so many more in the Bible, that reflects on the outside of what other people see. A strong heart, a pure heart, on fire for God, living with passion to serve Jesus and walking in the fullness that he has for each one of you, walking into the promises that he has, because they are good. He is good. Okay, let's review. Conclusion. We need to be a people that have a strong and pure heart. A strong heart is one that's guarded from contaminants, one that is rooted and grounded in the word. You've got to plant the word in your heart. To know more about that, go listen to last week's sermon. A strong heart is one willing to fight for God's promises until the harvest comes. A strong heart is one that is free from offense. A strong heart is one that is open to the Lord's correction. It's having a teachable heart. And sometimes, I didn't say this before, sometimes P.S., Lord's correction comes through people. He sends people. He sends a disciple maker, a cell group leader, whoever, a friend, to come and speak the truth to you. Have a teachable heart to receive what you believe, what is coming from God as his correction. A strong heart is one that hears God's voice and obeys, and a strong heart is one that is thankful. Can you imagine yourself? Imagine, meditate, let the Holy Spirit paint a picture on the inside of you of what your life and what your heart would look like with all of those characteristics. Shiny and sparkly and bling bling. And maybe if you're not into the red and bling bling, okay, whatever physically would look good to you, have that as a image, as a visual. But ask the Lord, like, don't be overwhelmed if you like, don't go home like, I just feel like she ran a Mack truck over me. How can I live up to all these things? Like how I first felt when I read the book of Proverbs, like just flattened, like, how am I ever going to do this? I can't. Don't be overwhelmed if that's you. I'm speaking to you now. Pick one. Ask the Holy Spirit. And maybe he already showed you when I was speaking. What's one of those areas? Holy Spirit, where do you want to purify and strengthen my heart? Let's work on that. Let's work on that one area so that we can have hearts alive, church, in 2025. God has amazing things for us. We got a tent meeting June 6th through the 11th, praise God, and many more things for us to do. So the stronger our heart is, the more pure our heart is, the more we can walk in victory and purpose and calling and enjoy all that he has for us in this year and beyond. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand with me and let's pray? I've preached a long time, right? Okay. Praise God. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you. Just bless him now. Just thank him. Thank you, God. Oh, we cry out to you, God. We cry out to you. Create in us a pure heart. Create in us a steadfast heart, one that is after you. We want to have purified hearts, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. Father, I pray that these words that I spoke today, that you take them and you minister to hearts and lives, that you highlight that one area for each one of us that is your, that you want us to focus on, that you want us to magnify and not veer away, not steer away from it, but just as maybe painful or difficult or however it may be, that we will give you our hearts and we'll say, change me and transform me. Create in me a pure heart, God. I want to be after what you are after for me. I line myself up to you, God. I let the old ways go. I let the contaminants go. I let every offense go. Everyone that has offended me, I forgive them now in Jesus' name. I let those things go, even if it wasn't a major thing, but just a little irritation when I see that person or I hear their name. God, I let it go to you. I extend your grace to them because I know that you've extended grace and mercy to me. Thank you, God, for helping us guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. Thank you for helping us get rid of our like justifying and our being led by our emotions and being led by our logic and our intellect. We let all that go so we can receive your correction, so we can hear your word, that we can take the lifeline when you speak to us and we can walk out in obedience and receive your transformation of heart. We can receive your correction. Help us to be a people that is teachable, not only with you, God, but that the trusted people in our lives that we've given permission to, that when they bring us a word of correction, that we can take that, God, or even a word of rebuke if we need that and if it's from you. Thank you, God. Show us, give us discernment about those things, and that we take correction so that we can grow, that our hearts can be transformed, God. So that we look more like you, God. I don't want to look more like me. I want to look more like you, Jesus. I want my heart alive this year so that I can walk in victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for helping each person do the work. Draw us with a hunger to your word like never before for 2025. That we get that word. We take your word and we plant it in our hearts. We can't expect anyone else to do it for us. We've got to do it, God. Thank you for giving us that desire, that push, that motivation, that hunger for your word, God, so that we can be planted in you, rooted and grounded with the incorruptible seed of the word. The word, when we plant it in our hearts, it will produce that for which it is sent. Thank you, God, that you sent your word, Jesus, the living word made flesh, to us. And it's Jesus is the fullness of Christ. We have all of the fullness of Christ in us. Live big in us this year, and we get out of the way, our obstacles, our mental limits, and we let you work. We let you transform our hearts, God. We want to be a people that shine for you, for your glory, not because of, oh, look at me, but to give you glory and honor and praise. We love you, Jesus. Have your way in our hearts. We bless your name today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And I just lift up everybody who's participating in the fast and the fasting and praying in any way. And I just pray strength over you. Like we sang today, you are more than enough for us. You satisfy every hunger, every need, every thirst. Let us experience you as the one who satisfies more than bread, more than food. Lord, give us a hunger to run to your presence and seek you, run to your word and just commune with you and satisfy us in the process. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this prayer and fasting time and the amazing results in the spirit that we don't even see right now. But we'll live out those blessings in this year as we choose to let the flesh die and we put your spirit in us, guiding us at the front. It's the motor. Let your spirit be the motor of our lives. And so I just pray refreshing over each one in Jesus' name. And we lift up those that are listening, either podcast or social media, and we pray blessings, your abundant blessings. You're putting a key. I see a key being put in somebody's hand. And maybe that's somebody watching or somebody in-house. He's putting a key in your hand. And the key is the thing that's going to open the door. And I'm pretty sure there's a word attached to it, his voice attached to it. So press into his voice. Press into his direction for you with that key of what the key is and how to use it. And turn the door and walk in. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Your blessings on our friends listening. Thank you, Jesus, for healing bodies. We just speak against symptoms and sickness and disease. And we say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening bodies with your word rising up, your word of faith about healing, all that you purchased on the cross for us, Jesus. Your healing, you, Jehovah Rapha, you live inside of us. So I thank you for the manifestation of that healing and for people receiving it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.